Good morning. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Diane B. I am a recovered compulsive eater from New York. Today is Friday, March 11th, and today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page XIX, Roman numeral 19, in the forward to the second edition. We're reading the second paragraph. Today's readers are Christina M. on 12 Steps, Terry H. on 12 Traditions. Our readers are Christina J., Julie E. B., and Jordan L. The reference numbers, the reference numbers for yesterday, Thursday, March 10th at 10 a.m. Eastern Time is 18,663. This morning's meeting at 7 a.m. Eastern Time is 18,669. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, as OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Christina M. to read the 12 steps.
Thanks so much.
There you go.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Diane. Thanks for moderating. Good morning. My name is Christina M., and I'm a compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. And these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you, Christina. And now I'd like to ask Terry H. to read the 12 traditions.
Thank you, Diane. This is Terry H., normally from Pensacola, Florida, en route back home from New Mexico. A little nervous about my connection, but God willing, the 12 traditions of the Overeaters Anonymous. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself. In our group conscience, our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should autonomously accept in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry this message to compulsive overeaters who still suffer. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, our OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever unprofessional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9OA, as such, ought never be organized, but may create service boards or committees directly responsible for those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no option, no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you for allowing me to be of service, and I apologize for my twin helping me along the traditions. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Terry. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Okay. Please mute, star one to mute. Thank you. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, please let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And in order to hear everyone clearly, please do not use your speaker function. Otherwise, we get echoes. So today we resume the study of the Big Book. We are on page XIX, Roman numeral 19, in the foreword to the second edition, paragraph 2. This was the substance of AA's 12 traditions. So I'm going to ask Christina J. to please read.
Good morning, everyone. Christina J. from the state of Washington, recovered for today with God's grace. When I came into, I'm going to start my share before I read. Sorry about that. This was the substance of AA's 12 traditions, which are stated in full on page 564 of this book. Though none of these principles had the force of rules or laws, they had become so widely accepted by 1950 that they were confirmed by our first international conference held at Cleveland. Today, the remarkable unity of AA is one of the greatest that our society has. You know, when I came in, like many of us, I wasn't interested in these traditions, and I've been learning a lot in the last several meetings, a lot more than I ever knew. And the essential thing that I've learned is in the previous paragraph that states, as we discovered the principles by which the individual alcoholic could live, so we had to evolve principles that AA groups and AA as a whole could survive and function effectively. Without this group, I can't live. If this group wasn't here, I wouldn't have a chance in hell. If AA hadn't evolved, you know, I would be lost. I mean, I just don't know what people do that don't have this program. So I'm very grateful that, first of all, the steps and then the traditions, because the traditions to me are like the steps of the group, not the steps that you take, but they are the foundation for what this all means. The steps brought me to these places that the traditions brought that bring the group to each time. Why was this so accepted, confirmed, because there's moral character, you know, in these traditions. And the group has to have moral character, just like I have to have moral character in my life. And I get that moral character through doing the steps. And the groups hold this moral character by following these traditions. Without the unity, I'd be lost. I'm isolated. Without the unity with these these traditions, the group would be lost, would be floundering about, like they spoke earlier in the earlier paragraphs about fighting and disrupting and egos wanting to come in. See, this is what's so interesting, is that these traditions give us a chance to honor, accept, respect, to have loving boundaries in order to keep this society together. And that's what my steps do in my life. They give me all those things that the traditions do, too. And I get to practice these in my life. And as I do the steps, the groups hold the traditions, and it's all glued together. It's a glue. The unity is a glue. It's a remarkable glue of AA. It's an asset, because without this, we'd all sort of break apart at some point. The glue wouldn't hold us together. The traditions, to me, are the glue of the group, and the steps are the glue of my life. And I think that's all I have to share. I'm grateful. And I thank you for letting me. I pass.
Thank you very much. Let's see. So we're now going to take people who want to share. Please give me your name and try to do it slowly. Thank you. Star one to unmute.
Alice G. in Wisconsin.
Alice G. Star one to unmute if you'd like to share.
Diane Cage.
I'm sorry, I didn't get your first name. Somebody K.
I think she said Anne K.
Thank you.
And I'm Teresa G. in New York.
Thank you. I have Alice G., Anne K., Teresa G. Anybody else? Star one to unmute, please. Okay, let's start with Alice G. then.
Good morning. Alice G., recovered compulsive overeater in Wisconsin. I am just so excited that we're at the beginning of the book and reading about some of the history that took place, and this is just a glimpse of our foundation in Overeaters Anonymous and Alcoholics Anonymous. And when it talks about the remarkable unity of AA is one of the greatest assets that our society has, I think that was kind of birthed in the beginning with the relationship between Dr. Bob Smith and Bill Wilson, the co-founders. When Bob died, Bill said, there was not a cross word between the two of us, and I give credit of that to Dr. Bob. So to me, I just always think of Dr. Bob as the voice of reason, and Bill Smith was the power driver. He was the one that had, he was the idea man. He was the salesman. He was, you know, pushing for our society to go forward and our, and the message to be spread. Thank God, right? And then Dr. Bob was the one who said, wait a minute, let's keep this thing simple. Let's not louse it up with Freudian concepts. And to me, it's about the other thing about those words of Dr. Bob were humility and staying right-sized. And Dr. Bob had a plaque on his desk that said, humility is perpetual quietness of heart. It's never to be fretted or vexed, irritable or sore, to feel nothing done to me and nothing done against me, but to have a quiet place where I can go to my Father in secret. And know that all is well with the world or something like that. I'm paraphrasing, but so it just speaks to humility and the we of the program. You know, the forward to the first edition, the first word is we of Alcoholics Anonymous are more than 100 recovered alcoholics. And it just gives a lot of hope. And it's a firm foundation that we need to stand on, these traditions that hold us together and keep us unified and self-supporting and away from outside issues, all those things that can tear us apart and make us ineffective to the newcomer. And I heard somebody speak or share this last week on the meeting, and she said, if I don't do the 12 steps, somebody else doesn't get to do a first step. And I was like, wow, that is powerful. So I'm stealing that today, and I didn't really pay attention in my time, but I really am grateful that I get to share on this meeting and that I get to be out of that prison of compulsive overeating that I put myself in. So thank you guys for helping me walk in freedom today, and I'll pass.
Thank you. Now we have Ann Kay.
Yes, good morning. This is Diane Kay in Southern California.
Thank you so much for
your service this morning. And yeah, the traditions are really divinely inspired, as are the steps. And I think that anyone that has been part of a larger organization can sure appreciate that we have the traditions. It's amazing that we, I forget who said it, one of our members said that, you know, we're all kind of like a bunch of, I don't know, it's like herding cats, you know, is what the first 100 alcoholics were. And they were able to bring together goals, aspirations, things that needed to happen to make the group successful. And any large group would benefit from the traditions that were so divinely inspired. And I know that I've been in so many meetings where the traditions have saved the day, and you know, the leader has gently nudged you know, the shares and what have you in a certain direction, so that there isn't any breakdown in communication and people are getting along. And it's an amazing thing. So, you know, we've been celebrating a number of years, these 12-step programs, and I think I feel, you know, forever grateful that we have these. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Diane. And next is Teresa G. Star 1 to unmute, please.
Hi, I'm Teresa G. in Central New York, and I am a blessed and grateful member of OA, and thank you all at A Vision for your service. And I just love the traditions. You know, every time I think about it, it's just miracle after miracle how this program has been said it's divinely inspired. And to get 100 alcoholics to agree on the publication of a book, and then containing a program that works for the majority, and an understanding that our salvation is in our unity. You know, we either get this together or we die alone. And it's just a miracle. Every time, like it's been said, that these traditions are actually practiced, the group benefits from it. And I was told any individual that doesn't practice the steps is doomed to failure, and any group that doesn't adhere to the traditions is destined to fail. And also that the steps save me from me, and the traditions save you from me. It's a continuation of the leveling of my own personal ego so that I can become one of many and an effective part of we. And that's what it comes down to. I cannot do this alone. I need each and every one that God has seen fit to make a part of my journey. And left to my own devices, my disease tells me I don't have a disease, so I will isolate, and that's where it wants me. And by the grace of God, Bill and Bob found out that it was one to another. The transmission line had to be open, and that's where the strength comes from. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you. excuse me. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So now open for more speakers or more share people to share. Star 1 to unmute, please.
Nancy L.
Thank you, Nancy.
Sylvia S.
Sylvia S. Does anybody else want to share? We have room. We have time.
Can you remind us of the page number?
Yes, we are on page XIX. We move forward to the second edition, and we are on the second paragraph, starting with "This was the substance." Okay, so let's go with Nancy.
Arlene B.
Okay, Arlene B.
Yes.
Thank you. Anyone else? Star one to unmute. Great. Nancy L., can you please share with us? Star one to unmute.
Liz A.
Hi, Nancy L. from Southern California. Grateful recovering compulsive overeater. The word that's been sticking with me for the past week or so while we've been talking about these traditions is what a tradition is. A tradition is something that a group of people do, an action to define who they are in their culture. Usually we think of holidays and religious things like that. So they were actually defining the culture of AA, by defining how we interact with each other and what behaviors we would do. So it's just been remarkable to me to see how this culture has led to everything that we've done so far. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you. Sylvia F.
Hi, this is Sylvia F. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Portland, Oregon. And the shares even already have been so profound. I know that I had overlooked how integral the traditions were, and often they are portrayed in how integral they are to the group. But I was able to be in early on in my recovery. I joined a group that studied the traditions every other week, steps 1 week, and traditions the next, and they still do that. And it was so profound in my recovery because the step work was definitely, somebody needs to mute, just as an aside. The steps were teaching me how to have a spiritual transformation, but the traditions were teaching me how to live and work with others. And that was huge for me. So I got to learn it in the meetings of, you know, what is my responsibility to the group, and it's to speak up when I think that there's something important that needs to be heard for the health of the group. And that it's important for me then to shut up and let the will of the group, their will, be decided. And there were so many things that I learned inside of the groups of how to function as a group that helped my recovery so much that I took that back to my relationships. I took that back to my work, and I could see how I was making a devastation in my life. So both of those were so important. So it's so important for me to honor the traditions. And the other thing that I heard, it was a couple of days ago that someone shared, and the thought came to me, is that now in this pandemic, it's so easy to forget to support our groups financially, and that we're there for the next person who needs it. And I realized, part of the traditions is to remember to financially support the groups that I'm participating in for the next person who comes in like I do. So I find the traditions are absolutely critical to the health, my personal health of my relationships, how to be with others, and it's also critical for the recovery of the group itself. And with that, I pass.
Thank you. And next we have Arlene B.
Hi, Arlene B. from Los Angeles, California. Well, I love to hear so much of what everybody said. And yes, I know the traditions, I know, used to not mean that much to me. It was like boring, but they become so important because, you know, I realized a few things. I left away for a while and then I came back and the meeting was still there that I had gone to and it hadn't changed. And, you know, that's because of the traditions. They may have changed, you know, people who were in charge, but the basics was there. And I particularly love the tradition about anonymity because it's so important for me to know that that I'm in a safe place and that hopefully anybody in any aspect of life, no matter how famous, can find a meeting where they can find anonymity. I think that's so important. And I do think that they are a guideline for life. It's amazing how little, really, the meetings have changed and the program has changed throughout the years because of the traditions. And, of course, that always makes me think, I wish there would be other institutions that could follow that and have a sense of traditions because we do follow them and it's important for each of us to kind of watch over them. I have something now that I've been debating about that I think I need to speak to our board about that has been bothering me. And I love what somebody said. They said something like, if I don't do a 12th step, somebody may not be able to do a first step. That's brilliant. Yes, it's so important, even in my life, my personal life, the traditions. So I'm just profoundly grateful to our four people, four fathers and mothers who created these traditions for us. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Arlene. Did I hear Liz A?
Hi, this is Joan. May I share?
Yes, please go ahead. Oh, wait, Liz. Okay. All right, Liz A, you go, followed by Joan.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Liz A from Michigan, and I'm grateful to be on the line. I rarely share, and so I have to give myself this push today. As we're reading this, I'm reminded of my feeling early on, especially when a meeting would say, oh, we're going to do a tradition. For me, it was the worst vegetable. Like, oh, I can't stand that vegetable, but they're telling me it's good for me, which I look at now. And, you know, that was me wanting to run the program the way I wanted to, which is my tendency. And the other thing is that I've been in meetings where the traditions have been broken. And I needed to hear a friend years ago tell me that, you know, we're sick people. I'm a sick person. And sometimes we affect each other in sick ways. And so I needed to hear that because this can be messy. And my recovery has been messy. So it's that progress, not perfection. And then finally, the traditions have taught me such a great deal about being safe and feeling safe. And I grew up in an environment where that was not practiced and is still with my family of origin, not practiced. And so coming to program gave me this amazing opportunity to practice with people who are attempting to be respectful and guided by as I call it, God, a power greater than ourselves, so that we could survive all the personality and conflict. And that has been imperative. That has been so profoundly important to me, to have that safety and that ability to practice getting along as a group, getting along and working together. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz. Joan, you're up. Star 1 to unmute, please.
Hi, this is Joan R. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. I just had to share on this. I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Oregon, I had the privilege of attending the World Service Conference of OA, and I was totally blown away by this huge group, you know, following the Robert's Rules of Order, people being able to share with some passion their ideas, and then others being able to, you know, talk about it, and things got passed, and there was unity, but most of all, there was love. There was love there, and there were rules, but there was love. And when, you know, like we'd all sit around to eat at the meals and stuff, I was just so amazed at, you know, the love of mature people in this program, and had lots of room to grow, but it made such a profound profession, you know, it made a, you know, real meaning, gave meaning to this OA beauty of the unity and the love of this program. And I loved what was shared today, that I wrote them down. That's really helpful. And the traditions have always, because I'm different, have always been my favorite part. So, that is it's been very, very helpful in meetings, and so, you know, that's how meetings stay together and how we can continue to be there for those that need a meeting. And I love Vision. Thank you all for your service, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Joan. We're now open for more people. Please press *1 and give me your name so we can see. We'll have a chance to share.
Gavilyn E.
Gavilyn?
Yes.
Okay, Gavilyn E. Thank you. *1 to unmute, please.
Okay, do you want me to go ahead?
Nope, I want to get a couple more names if we have them. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody else want to share?
Christy F.
Christy F. Okay. So I have Gavilyn E. and Christy S. Okay, Gavilyn, *1. Unmute, please.
Hi, my name is Gavilyn with a D, Gavilyn E. from Manitoba, Canada. I'm just thinking as I listen, walk this morning and listen to people share on the traditions, how little attention I paid to them, of course, like many of us, and how over the past few years in OA, that they have grown to be a part of the meetings. And then I was realizing today as I I'm involved in my very elderly father's life, and many, many other people are involved. And of course, there are conflicts and there are disagreements, and everyone knows, loves my father and thinks they know what's best for him, and I think I know what's best, and of course, none of that is true. And I realized how important the traditions are in how I interact with the people in my very large family and with my father's friends, how important that their viewpoints and their love are validated and treated with respect and listened to, and the traditions guide me in all of that. These traditions make a huge difference in my nuclear family, and now that I'm starting to apply them to my larger family and to my father's friendship group, how very important they are in my whole life. This is truly a design for living, and the traditions are an amazing part of it at this stage of my life. And with that, thank you for listening, and I will come.
Thank you. Okay, Christy S., please.
Good morning. This is Christy M., grateful, recovering bulimic anorexic from Oregon. And I really, when I think about the traditions and their importance in this 12-step program, I think about that many of us come from dysfunctional families of origin, and that's sometimes where our disease originates, and how we might not have had an experience of a group working together in a non-dysfunctional way, you know, where there's not gossip, where there's not secrets. And I read a study once about Google that they did this study about what was the highest functioning teams, and they thought that the highest functioning teams or people working together would be people who had the most commonalities and values and beliefs. And it turned out that none of that really mattered, that the thing that was most important about the success of a team was if they had agreements and they stuck to them. And that if the groups had agreements like norms and they stuck to them and they held each other accountable for them, that it didn't really matter where they were from, it didn't really matter their background, that they could be highly successful as a team. And I just think how all we have so many different people, like when we even just talk about higher power, like that can be really loaded for people, and people have so many different conceptions and beliefs and feelings about that. And yet, because of the traditions and because of the steps, we can come together with all these beliefs that can be, in a normal setting, could be really controversial beliefs, and we can be in harmony, and we can experience peace, and we can experience healthy relationships, so long as we are following the steps and the traditions. And I think, you know, we talk about them and we say them in the beginning, but just imagine what it might be like to talk about religion and God if we didn't have those, if we didn't have those guidelines of how we talk about higher powers, and maybe how people might gossip or tell secrets if we didn't talk about anonymity and we didn't have those things, how we don't interrupt or crosstalk. And although those things can become rote, and we do them day by day, if they weren't there, we could only imagine. Just think about family dynamics when we don't have those agreements or people don't follow them. And so I think sometimes when we say them day by day and they become those things, those rote things that we hear, it's easy to take for granted how important they are. And by following those and by holding each other accountable, it allows us to have this group to talk about something that's really sensitive and hard and difficult, and it's just a reminder about how important those agreements are, and that we can come with all different walks of life, different values, different belief system, and we can be in community and talk about hard things and do hard things because of those steps and traditions. So with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Christy.
Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared since Tuesday and you would like to share again, please press star 1 and give us your name.
Nadia B.
Hey, Nadia. We have time for a few more shares. Okay,
Babylonia.
Nadia. Oh, who was this? I'm sorry.
Babylonia A.
Babylonia A. Great, thank you. Anybody else? Star 1 to unmute.
Kathleen W.
Kathleen. Okay, Nadia, let's start with you. Welcome.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Diane, for your service. Nadia B., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Connecticut. Please tell me if you could. Just, you know, thinking that it's been 90 years since, you know, this book has been written and, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous became a society, or, you know, we've become, you know, support to each other. And, you know, the steps were transferred, you know, through the phone, through the book, through the word of mouth. And I'm thinking we're not the first society, and we're not even the first alcoholic society, right? But there are some that didn't survive the turbulations of the time, and we did. You know, I think that I've read somewhere about Washingtonians that, you know, just didn't make it. And we are here because we have learned from the history. And I think in those traditions, you know, when we read them, when we think about them, there's a lot of experience. I'm sure that it all didn't come smoothly. And we know that there were, you know, turbulations and, you know, and disagreements as the AA started. The disagreements in groups with, you know, the place, with what they should practice, how they should practice it, how they should support each other, even with the start of, with the beginning of writing of this book, you know, Rockefeller didn't believe in, you know, that we would survive if the outside companies, if the outside parties would contribute to our causes. And so those traditions came from pain and experience. And we all know, you know, when we don't learn from history, history repeats itself. And I think that today, you know, we either have to stick together or die separately. And we just have a lot to lose. So each and every one of us are responsible for, you know, for maybe adherence, for respect of this, what we've learned through, you know, a lot of years of experiencing this, you know, not a set of rules or laws, but they are, for me today, spiritual laws that I follow in my practice, you know, in all my affairs, including the affairs of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'm just so grateful that we've had them and that they are documented, and we can all utilize them as the new groups start, so we can learn from those who come before us. Because
time.
Otherwise, thank you, we wouldn't survive as Overeaters Anonymous, as a society. And therefore, you know, I'm grateful that I have a place to call home in Overeaters Anonymous, and have a responsibility here too. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nadia. Babylonia A. Star one.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for this opportunity to be with you guys in the morning and get to share again. I'm really grateful for this program. Last night I was lying in bed about to go to sleep, and I just thought, like, being in this program, I am a born-again Christian, but this is like being born again. Like, it's like a brand new chance at life, and to get to live life in a whole new different way, like learning about resentments, learning about expectations, learning about self-centeredness, learning about the allergy of the body. And the thing that really struck me yesterday while I was reading the big book with my sponsor was that there was a line that said, the desire for God must come from within. And ever since I became a Christian, I have made it my mission to tell everybody about Jesus Christ and to tell everybody about God. And honestly, I know I've lived out my faith, but I have never been very effective, and now I'm trying to trust the big book and maybe see that I can't really change or convert anyone into being a God believer, because I think it's going to change their life. They have to really come to that place from within themselves. So Now I'm wondering, like, how can I assist in that process? But that could be my self-centeredness, like trying to run the whole show. So that's what's on my mind. Other than that, I'm very happy, very blessed, and grateful to be alive. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you for sharing, Babylonia. We're up now. We have Kathleen W.
Excuse me. Hi, I'm Kathleen W. from Illinois. I'm grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. I am so grateful for these traditions. I've been in 12-step programs for very many years, and I was like it was said before, the traditions at first, they kind of just bored me. They were boring to me. I didn't get it. And it was because they weren't about me, mainly because that's why they were boring. But what I think about what God has done, when I think about all this, you know, who but God could gather together a group of erratic alcoholics and bring unity to a fellowship? Who but God could do that? And as I think about the traditions now, and how important they're becoming in my life, more so through this fellowship than any other fellowship that I've been in, I am just so grateful today for these traditions, and I'm so grateful for the people that do speak up and have the courage to speak up. I'm not always one of them, but I'm so grateful for people who say, you know, this meeting is not going according to this tradition or that tradition. And the amazing thing is that people, we have a platform where we can say that and others can hear it and we can discuss it and come back to that place of unity together. It's just simply amazing and awesome to me. So I'm just so grateful for what we have. What a gift, what a precious gift we have in this program, and these traditions and these steps. And, you know, talking about effectiveness, I too have been a Christian for many years, but to become effectual, God brought me to this program to work these steps and to find a place of becoming honest and helpful and all, you know, walking in these principles. This is where I've learned to walk out my faith, and I'm grateful for that. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Kathleen. Thank you, everyone, for allowing me to do service this morning. We will now close the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Julie E.B. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Star One, Julie.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. Our book is meant to be suggested only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.